You're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Centre. For more information, visit www.lmc.org.au.
Great. Well, yes, this morning, as we finished there, you know, just coming into your environment and getting the feel and the vibe and the getting to feel at home with you. I knew I would because I sort of have common roots and I love you and you're nice. And you're Australians. You're not Canadians. You've got any Canadians in here? God, send me a Canadian. God bless you. Where are you from? Toronto. Toronto, yes. Okay, that's cool. You know, well, we're from the West, and we're slightly a little different, as you know, but good to have you. You belong to this church? Good. You're just helping to make Melbourne the most livable city in the world, aren't you? Yes, you need a Canadian to do that. Very good. But anyway, it's great to be with you and you know, just kind of get at home. I kind of felt like there was more goods that I wanted to deliver this morning, but I looked at my watch at one horrible moment and thought, it's all over, Red Rover, you've got to stop. And Pastor Hell has taught us since the 70s that there's a thing called a clock, and there was no way I was going to violate him at all. I love that man so dearly, and I seriously mean that. But there was an interesting comment that Graham made as we finished this morning, and he said to me, I'm just pulling a note across my screen here, and he said to me from up the front here to pray for people at the end of that meeting tonight in respect to some of the things that I've said this morning. And I'd like to do that just before we get going on something fresh here for this evening, because it is important that we touch something in your heart as God is touching you. I try not to give a canned sermon. Now, of course, obviously I'm preaching out of stuff I've preached and I know and all of that, but I'm always coming into a place, feeling my way and saying, come on, Lord, just give me something fresh, something that's for these people. And it doesn't matter how many times I might go back to some notes or some preparation that's in my heart, it always comes out differently, so long as it does, so long as it's not a canned sermon. I want to speak to you from the Lord, and part of the role, I think, in the prophetic is to bring something from the Lord. That maybe that alerts the people, alerts the pastors, leaders of something God is saying or doing or confirms, and so on. And it's up to them to take that, in terms of its applications to the next step. But in the moment, it's important to hear from God. And I felt this morning that there are people here. When I talked about your complaint as your vision, and I talked about that you need a grand complaint or a godly complaint to subjugate the minor complaints, and then kind of went on towards the end of my message, there were some things I never said. I'm not going to try and preach part two right now because I want to get to minister to some of you. But at one of the points I kind of skimmed over fairly quickly was when Hannah offered back to the Lord, she said, I want a child. Basically, her process was this: I want a child, Lord, I want a son. And the third stage of that, as her prayer processed under duress and pain and being aggravated or irritated by her rival, as the pressure came on, as tribulation was working within her to produce something, something was distilled in her prayer, and a pure prayer came out at the end. And Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. And right in that moment, something very, very powerful happened, because her anchors were now in beyond the veil. Her anchors were now in eternal values. You offer something back to God, God just might take it. You hear that? She's at one hand asking God for something, but she's saying, but I'll give him back to you. And so in some sense, she's crying out for something, but she's willing to relinquish it back into the hands of God. That's a very interesting moment. And at that point in her life, something went crack in the heavenlies, because God had been wanting a representative, because Hophni and Phinehas and Eli were letting him down horrendously. And so God was looking for a child, in a sense. God was looking for someone as well. And as she edged closer through process of time and the heating up of her situation and her prayer distilled, Lord, give me a son, God was saying, I'm looking for a man. And then when she finally says, but I'll give him to you, God says, I've found my dedicated man. I found the one who's being dedicated to me that will be raised in the temple to be the prophetic generation that will transition things over to the kingdom from the judges. And in that moment of offering back to the Lord what she was even praying to have happen, she intentionalized something. And this is my point here tonight, where I just want to minister to some of you from this morning, in that your complaint is your vision, so you better have a good complaint, because it'll either be a negative thing or it'll be a very powerful positive thing working in you. So you've got to have a God complaint, a grand complaint, that you can subjugate any other negative, minor, irritating things about somebody else or the way they do it or don't do it or should do it. And you've got to have something from God that helps you to overcome those things in terms of importance. And then as that begins to process in your life, there comes a time where that complaint can mature into a cause. Now, woe betide any of us whose negative complaint grows so large that it becomes a cause, because we become destructive people. But when we have a godly complaint and it's converging with the will of God, there comes a point. That's when we start to step into the destiny that God has for us. You see, by illustration, I walked through the Sunshine Coast many years ago. It would have been in the late 80s, early 90s, late 80s. And every time I drove through Maroochydore, I'm an old surfer from way back. And I would drive through and I'd see all these young surf dudes hanging around. And I'd say to Patty, my wife, we're just going away for a weekend or whatever to spend up at Noosa or something like that. And I would say to Patty, somebody's got to do something about these kids. There were just seemingly to me hundreds and hundreds of young people hanging in the streets. And it's like, I thought, like, somebody's got to do something. These kids need God. Well, you see, that's a complaint. And as that complaint grew in me, I didn't realize, but actually it was the seeds of destiny working in me. At some point, I heard from the Lord, and it was the point at which I surrendered to the will of God to leave the church in Toowoomba, which had been my home for so long. My life was set up in Toowoomba. I had a great future, a house and a home and a great church, you know, commensurate with this place up there in Queensland. We never did get voted the world's best city in Toowoomba, but anyway, livable city. But, you know, it was good enough for me to be called heaven. And God started to work on me. And that little complaint became something that worked in my spirit, where at one point I said, Lord, man, I'll do this. That meant relinquishing an established ministry, a large church, people that I've walked with for 20 years, and going out and planting a church. You see, there comes a point where in the complaint, as you surrender to it, you offer yourself to God or offer it back to God, you intentionalize that, and it matures to become a cause in your life. A similar thing happened just because I kept going to Toronto to preach at the Airport Fellowship over a series of years when the renewal was at its heyday. And every time I went through Vancouver, I felt this kind of same feeling. It was a familiar, vaguely familiar feeling. Somebody's got to do something about this. And I was sitting in a meeting in Oxford Falls Christian City Church not long after they got into the new building, and they had some visiting pastor in there, and I was sitting listening to this message, and in the middle of it, God just struck me like a bomb, like, you're going to Vancouver. And I wrote on a piece of paper that I wanted to go there and do something about the entrenched drug culture in Vancouver. Now, you know, I have memories of the McKay family down in the Riverina, who got standing up for God against the drug culture in this nation, and, you know, his life was taken because of it. I know that scene is a wicked scene, and I've been enough around it. And, you know, I didn't think that somehow I would now be acting and working and living and well, not living right there, but I'm working in there, in this disastrous neighborhood of Vancouver where we're touching this kind of thing and this kind of people. But this complaint was in me. Somebody's got to do something about that. And I wrote it on a piece of paper. We've got to do something about that. And here I am now, some 11 years later, with a church functioning in that very area. All I'm saying to you is at some point your complaint becomes intentionalized and it becomes the cause in your life. I wonder if there's people here, and I felt there was this morning, who in a sense, you feel the constraints of God about wanting to bring change. You know, the power of God will always shift to those who stand up and be responsible. Who don't just say, I want change, but don't do something about the change. So we've got to stand with our ACL brothers, right? These people that are facing it right now. They're speaking to change in our nation. They're going to get shot at. There's a cost in this. But you see, that's part of the deal with the call and when the complaint begins to become the cause of your life. And I was wondering this morning whether there are people here who, it may be that there's a people group in the world. I heard of somebody from this church ministering in Uganda, some young lady, you know, amazing, just blows my mind away that people get that seed into their spirit and they can't live their lives for themselves anymore. I wonder whether there's somebody here who's about some sector of your society. Somebody did speak to me this morning, and I'd left that person's here, some guy, about a chaplaincy, sports chaplaincy, something moved in your heart out of the message this morning. But I wonder whether there's a number of people who feel like their complaint is kind of hammering up the inside of them. They're feeling like they're going to either burst or cry or die if something isn't going to happen. And you'd like me just to lay hands on you and to pray that God will begin to shift things for you in your favor. I'm not quite Eli. I don't want to be Eli, actually. But Eli in his office as the high priest was able to bless Hannah at that moment of prayer, and a prophetic word actually was going into her life. She went away from that place resolved that God was on her case and that God was going to fulfill her. And she had no idea how big that was going to become. So are there people here who would like to just come and look, stand across the front here right now? It's a kind of a cold call, altar call, you know. But if that's you, you feel like something of that call of God type complaints working on the inside of you. You know, it's not saying that you're going to have to be in the pulpit. It can be about any area. It can be about some element of your society, your city, what you're actually doing. And you want to see something shift in your favor towards that complaint finding itself expressed and fulfilled. We're not talking about the negative complaint. If you're standing up here tonight, you're going for the God complaint, the grand thing that subjugates the minor things. Amen? Thank you, Holy Ghost. You're going to stand with me, church? I mean, believe with me here. You don't have to stand. You can if you like. But I mean, you know, believe with me here for these folks, because I'm going to come and pray for every single one of you. I'm not promising you a prophecy, but I am going to pray for you. Who knows what else will happen once we get flowing here. But I believe you're doing a great thing, saying, come on, God, shift this complaint to a cause. Now, what I want you to do right now as you're standing here is to begin to offer yourself to the Lord and not ask him to change others or other circumstances or whatever so that you could fit into the plan. Ask God right now to help you release yourself completely to him in how this was going to transpire, because he may just interrupt the course of your life in ways that you'd never believe. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. There's a lady here with a green sweater here. I just want to pray for you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, you it's like your eyes and ears in the spirit. It's like there's a prophetic generating something in you. The prophetic spirit is generating vision in you and capacity to see and to notice. And the Holy Ghost is stirring your heart. I want to say intercession, but I think that's a way too small a category to the dimension that God wants to shift in your life. But I feel like something in the prayer and the cry in your spirit, there is this capacity to have eyes and ears in the Holy Ghost to see clearly and to define the will and the word of the Lord. And what's going to happen is that God is going to bring circumstances around you where you're going to be able to carefully relate what you're feeling to others. And they're going to be so touched, so blessed, you're going to help them to understand the circumstances in which they're in. Now, I don't know what that has to do with how you're feeling right now about the complaint, but I'm praying that what you see and what you pick up doesn't become the kind of thing that affects your spirit so that you operate either presumptuously or out of order, but that somehow you will know by the grace of God in you and by good wisdom of those over you and around you how to take what God shows you as eyes and ears and become more and more sharpened in that gift to be able to discern and to see and to say what God is saying and affect the situation around you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. There's a great young couple standing right here by the stairs. Praise God. Now you're holding hands, so I take it you're a couple. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you, God, for the cry of the heart that gets heard from the Lord. That nothing that has gone down is lost or wasted from God. But from God's point of view, he's a redeemer. And he draws back up into your life the value of what has been that you think is over. And he draws it back up into value in your life, value in your character. God adds more to you than he takes away from you. And whenever God in any way takes you through a journey where you go through it, God's saying he's going to get you through it to enlarge you, to increase you, to strengthen you, because God's hand is upon you. I want to encourage you today that the value of all that has been, this is what I feel, the value of all that has been is not lost to you. And there is being worked in your heart today, some kind of softening towards the Lord in surrender of your lives, in complete abandonment and devotion. And you're going to find yourself as if the chains are off. You're not even recognizing that there have been chains, perhaps. But you're going to find us as if you're suddenly set free from the Lord. And God has liberated your soul as the requirement of the Lord is being met in your lives. And God is going to bring you through to a great sense of fulfillment in it. The hand of the Lord's on you. You've really got a strong hand of God. It's like I just see the two of you in one hand, like one great big grip from God around you. And there's no doubt about it that you're gripped of the Lord. You're not your own. So you might as well give up and surrender and give it all over to him, because he's going to take it from you. Not, I don't mean he's going to make you cause a loss, but he's going to take what you're offering and he's going to make so much more out of it than you could ever, ever, ever have dreamed possible. The hand of the Lord is on you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, God. These are but beginnings, says the Lord. These are days when the things of God are beginning to stir in you for the greater days ahead. These are new days. Days when fresh things are going to come into your life. And God says to you tonight that the constraint of the Lord that is on you, that's pulling you towards himself, is to prepare you. And the big words prepare are like an arch over your heads. I see it kind of like just prepare. It's almost like a flashing light from Vegas, you know. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Because God is wanting you to walk through your preparatory times. God is going to download into you. God is saying that there is a sufficient time of preparation needed because of the grandness and greatness of what he's going to call you forth into. And God says, don't be afraid of preparatory years, because they're not years away from the call. They're years of substantiating the call that's in your life. And you're going to be used of God along the journey. And in the way that he uses you, he's going to prepare you against a day and an hour and a time when you'll know it when it happens, that you've stepped up into a whole new arena for God to use you in. These are the preparation days, says the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost, touch this man. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Rabakuru bushtara maran derekia. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, God. God, he's got a cry in his heart to be used of God. He's got a cry that, Lord, he wants to turn over to you. And tonight he stands here, Lord, in faith and in faithfulness. That's what's going to get you through always. Don't go that faith is the only part of the journey, but faithfulness, faith and faithfulness. That faithfulness issue is the big one. I've seen a lot of people do things in the issues of faith. They're kind of like the miracle workers, the people that shift mountains. They seem to be able to draw provision. They move out somewhere, but very often they're not on the horizon a few years later. Faithfulness is so important to the things of God. Faithfulness is knowing what to do and keeping on doing it. Faith is what you do when you don't know what to do and you have to step out and believe God to come to the party for you. And I want to call you to both, sir. I just want to just put that into your spirit. Faithfulness is a very big thing. Faithfulness is outworked in the house of God. Faithfulness is outworked in relation to those that are around you in the house of God. Faithfulness works towards those that are over you in the house of God. It's so important. Faithfulness, 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 because God is going to build on the faithful. And I'm telling you, there will be no question as to your faith if you're faithful. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Thank you, God. I thank you for a young woman whose heart's being stirred. God, I pray that the seeds of a great and mighty call shall begin to flourish in her life. Thank you, God. That God, in the years of her understatement, she will actually grow bigger, stronger, more powerful in grace and in wisdom. And that God, you'll start to give her even keys in her life now that will open some marvelous doors of opportunity for her. I thank you, God. I pray, Lord, that the seeds of her future shall be quickened to her mind and her spirit. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You've got to know, this is what I feel, you've got to know that God is already speaking. And that there is some of these deep desires of spirit and heart that are so from God. They're going to clarify. They're going to distill even more. You be like that Hannah of old. You let your complaint out before the Lord. And in some very angsty moments, you're going to find your own mouth declaring the will of the Lord for you. And then you're going to see God turn around and bless it, even as you've spoken it. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Keep coming, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, God. Jesus. I want to call you a secret agent man. You know, it's like somebody just steps out from the shadow. Somebody who steps out from behind the barriers, and you didn't know he was there as a secret agent. But man, he was an agent. He was ready. He was in the place, and he was an agent of change. Sir, it's going to be like that. Out of obscurity, you'll rise. Don't project yourself on a screen. Don't market yourself. Don't try and farm it and make it happen for you, because God's got something working in the secret times of your life. God's got something working in the hidden times of your life. God's got something working even while you're not seen, even in the obscure moments. You got to know King David, he wasn't always a king. He was a shepherd, but he was in obscurity in the wilderness. But everything that he did in his kingdom in terms of glory to God came out of those obscure years. I'm telling you, God is working on you. Out of obscurity, you'll rise, secret agent man, and you'll be used of God, an agent of change. Thank you, God. I pray to God that you will just fire up that cry, that desire for change. Thank you, Lord. Don't let him in any way lose that in the ongoing, in the developing years. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Use them now. Be an agent of change in the circumstance. Thank you, God. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Did I pray for you? I'm going to right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Believe with me, church, to touch these people. We're just believing, God, that, Lord, the complaint will be a godly complaint. There'll be a sifting and a sorting as God knocks the edges off the complaint to make it come down to something that's conformed to the desire and the will of God. And the sifting and the sorting is not always the easy part. But, you know, your heart is willing to be led. There's an acceptance that God has the right to your life. That is a great and powerful thing. You know, God looks for these, I call them self-motivated Christians. I don't mean self in the wrong sense. God looks for people who will step up and go for God, who will pray, who will read the Word. You know, they're not the people that just periodically go there. They will begin to shape their lives by a devotional commitment to God. And it's like in those times, God's settling a rain, like the horse reins, upon their life to lead them. There's a word in the Psalms that says, don't be like a mule that needs bit and bridle, because I will guide you with my eye upon you. And it's in your devotion to God, it's in your love for the Word, it's in your commitment to be self-generating in the right sense towards the Lord, and your commitment to His Word and prayer and devotion, that God is going to get in intimately with you, into intimate relationship with you, to lead you and guide you with His eye upon you. You're not going to miss this. Thank you, Lord. And He will shape the vision even clearer in the journeying. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Thank you, God, for even where they function right now. God, I feel like I'm putting my hands on people who go where angels fear to tread. People who have large stride and big leaf, big footprint. And I thank you for that, God. Thank you that these are people who are movers and shakers in their own world, and they've never desired to be big noted, but God, you've got a big note over their life. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. I just want to encourage you. I feel like there's some something in God that's being transacted in this day of you standing here in this moment where you're doing this very thing, and there's a surrendering, there's a giving over, but I feel like something is transacted in this today, and I want to just speak the word of provision over your life like you've never seen it before, and that there is a great turning of a corner for some reason in how it's going to happen for your lives. It's going to be such a sense that God has stepped into your world so powerfully, wonderfully, in some provisional way. Thank you, God. You know, we often say it, but, you know, God's vision never lacks God's provision. And sometimes these things slip out of our mouths. I've got to tell you, I've been for years with a vision and never had the provision for it. I'd be doing a lot more if I had that provision. But every now and again, God turns me around a corner, and I see that actually His vision is slightly different shaped from mine, and His provision is there. And it's marvelously there. I can't go into the story now, but I've got to just tell you, this is what I feel is going to happen. It's like just going to switch around, and there it is. God has downloaded it for you. Praise God. Father, I also pray for a powerful anointing upon them. And that God is ones, as I said, as angels go where angels fear to tread. They will pull down fallen angels, God. They will kick out demons. They will bust open doors. They will take risks for God and see you coming in powerfully using them. Lord, I pray for a greater exercise, even in that supernatural capacity, in the gifts of the Holy Ghost, that, Lord, they'll see powerful and mighty things happen, not only in the people they minister to, but in what is the realm of provision for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, God, for treasures of darkness. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Oh, God. Thank you, Father. I say the stirring up on the inside of this man. They put such a passion for you, God. He's going to just feel the unsettledness of coming to grips that his life is a long, long journey of absolute commitment to the Lord. And he's not going to settle for anything else, Lord. He's not going to take it easy. He's going to go the distance with God. I believe you've got a good heart, sir. I believe there's a deep sort of thing going on here tonight that you're saying, God, it's all. It's everything for you, God. And you're going to let God do it. But here's the deal, man. This cry is from the Lord. This cry in your spirit is from God. This yearning, this complaint that's been growing is going to get more and more clarified. I think there's going to be some very significant, it's like I can see two or three, for some reason, two or three quite powerful prophetic moments, and it's like God is going to give you a greater sense of seeing. I touch your eyes. It's as if scales are going to come off incrementally, and you're going to see how this complaint is going to draw you into not just career move, but it's going to draw you into the fulfilling things of your life, the things that are going to really help you to be who you really are. And God's going to use you so powerfully. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I just lay hands on him, and I agree with him that God, your vision shall come to pass. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Man, I just kind of, when I reached my hand over, I felt like I grabbed a fire, hot coal off the altar. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray the fire of God on this woman. I believe she's got a fire in her spirit. I believe, God, there's an ever-increasing fire. And I pray you'll fan that thing fully into flame on her life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost, keep moving on her life in these days. Keep bringing order into her world. Keep bringing things into alignment for her, I pray. Pray, God, that where the loose ends are, you'll begin to tie them up, Lord. Thank you, Father. God, I feel like something's pushing through. The picture I have is of some road makers coming through, and they're pushing through to join up a long stretch of road from two ends, almost as if they've been working from two parts of the countryside. And God is pushing something through for you. He's making a way, and things are going to connect in this whole sense that I'm feeling, and it's going to be an open way for you to travel on, to work on, to find your way, and it's going to be a freedom way for you. Thank you, God. Both ends are working at the same time to bring it about. Thank you, God. There's a point of connection. Why that's important, I don't know, but at some point in your journey, I believe you'll become aware that you'll see that God's worked from one end, and he's worked from the other end, and that he's pulled something together, and your freedom to do this thing that's in your heart is in that release as they come together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's making a way for you. Praise God. Man, there's 1,000 people here. Keep going. Holy Ghost. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, young lady. Oh, God. Just confirm the deep cry in her spirit here tonight. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Oh, God. I thank you, God, that there's a stirring up going on. Oh, God. Don't let the stir up become a restlessness from the it's like I said to somebody back there about faithfulness. Don't let the stirring up become a restlessness that stops you doing the things you just got to do to keep life ticking in the right direction. You know, people can go in all kinds of restless kind of attitude and begin to fray around the edges of their life. You're not going to do that. You're going to keep in there and keep at it from God as God stirs up, because when the dust settles, you're going to see so clearly. God is in and on your case. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. There's nothing from behind you that's going to rob you. Nothing. God, nothing in the background is going to rob you. Nothing. You're moving forward and you've got God with you. There's nothing from behind that's going to creep up and get you from behind. I'm telling you, for whatever reason, you're to be secure in the knowledge that God has got you covered. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Thank you for the men of God rising in this place. Thank you for strong men, men with a voice. And I'm praying, God, you'll increase his voice. I'm praying, God, you'll put the megaphone up to his mouth, and that he will find himself speaking clearer, more assertively and strongly in larger arenas. I pray, God, that the gift of the Holy Ghost within him will boom out of him, Lord, not just in voice, but in power and in gift and in influence. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. There's not one weeping moment where God doesn't take the tears and bottle them up. For weeping is for a moment, but joy comes in the morning. Not one weeping moment is overlooked from the Lord. But I'm telling you, there's going to come a joyful morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. You just go through the night with God. I don't mean anything by that. You've got to discern what he means. go through the night with God. Just don't let go. Don't let go. Weeping for a season, but joy comes in the morning. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Whew, Jesus. Even you, sir. There's no underestimating of who you are in God. God has got you in his hand. God has called you to himself. God has stirred your spirit. You can be an agent of change. The people on the right and the left of you, the people with whom you work and rub shoulders with, those people can feel the effects of God in your world. You're not gonna be one who has to settle for a lesser option, the Lord says. Don't settle for a lesser option. Don't agree to a lesser thing. In these days, don't take what is not necessary, because I have that which is due you, says the Lord. And you make the heart commitment to keep yourself before the Lord, and God will give you what is due. So don't undersell how far you can go and how God can put his hand on you and use you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, God, I just pray for a Holy Ghost creative anointing to come into her spirit and mind and heart, that she will see the days of opportunity coming, and that, Lord, ideas from God will be in her spirit. Thank you, Lord, that it won't be just good ideas, it'll be God ideas. Thank you, God, real good God ideas. You know, oh, it's a whole other deal. But good ideas often compete with a God idea. But a God idea will outlast a good idea, because good ideas always have a use by date till something better comes along. And there's something from God in your walk that God's wanting you to listen carefully to him, because the God idea is going to come into your spirit and it will shape the vision of your life. It will shape the purpose of your life. He's going to be faithful to you in this. He's going to keep speaking. The promises of his word will alert you. The reading of the word is so important. But he's going to put the prophetic ministry around your life from time to time. And it's going to shepherd you in the way of the Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, God. Oh, God. Praise God. I just see you walking into a very authoritative place in the Spirit. And that your influence is strong and powerful, and that you have this decisive capacity to speak an answer into the situation, and you're finding yourself speaking and something is moving through you, and you know that the word of wisdom has come out of your mouth. You don't have to be in church to do this. You don't have to be in the classic ministry environment for this to happen. I just believe that there's something in the gift of God that's going to give you that little shift up in the gift. And that thing's going to lift and shift in your life to where you start to speak out of an authority that's from God, and the word of wisdom will be sharp and clear. It won't come through premeditated approach. It's going to come in the moment of faith as you step into the responsibility to speak, and God will give you so much influence because of it. It's going to kind of reverberate around the room. It's going to make people listen who weren't listening. It's going to make people come to attention who were just kind of lackadaisical in the whole thing into which you're speaking. God has got his hand on you. God is going to shift it for you. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hope that means something for you. Be encouraged. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the cry in her spirit. Thank you for the desire to be used of God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Just pour into her spirit right now. Something fresh in the Holy Ghost. Lord, you're going to do it in the Spirit. You know, there's nothing that God will bring to us outside of the person and ministry of the Holy Ghost. Man, I want to tell you, get in the upper room with God. Go there where God is in the Holy Ghost, because that's where you're going to get downloaded. That's where you're going to be shored up and empowered. That's where it's going to really come to clarity in your life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, I just pray with her over that cry that's in her heart. I pray with her for the fulfillment of days. I pray with her for the day to come when she sensed the heaven says, yes, yes, this is the time. And God, that her own prayer will have distilled to heavenly values completely. And that God, she'll have that joy of seeing you begin to rush in with provision, rush in with open doors, rush in with a sense that God has met the cry of her heart and that she knows she's in the flow of the purpose of God in it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. God, just shift the complaint. Let it harmonize. Let it harmonize with your will and purpose, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God doesn't want to overburden you. God doesn't want you to be taxed with a concern. But God does want to shift the complaint and harmonize with his will. And then what happens is you realize that God has absolved this pain on the inside. It's like when Hannah walked away from Eli, she walked away free. Something was happening. Thank you, God. I pray, shift the complaint to fulfillment, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, man, you spoke to me this morning. Thank you, God. Just pray the grace of God on it. Pray the grace of the Lord. Lord, I pray that prayer that Hannah prayed. God, favor me. God, favor him. Favor him. Favor him. Favor him in this day. Favor him, Lord. Favor him with blessing. Favor him with opportunity. Favor him with being heard and understood. Thank you, Holy Ghost. That's important. Whew, God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Look at you, very patient. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Because God doesn't take you for a ride. And God does, in the sense that, you know, how we use that as a colloquialism. God doesn't take you for a ride. He doesn't take you somewhere where you're going nowhere. God is always taking you somewhere. And lady, there's just to become a reassurance in your heart tonight that you're not on a circular journey with not knowing where it's at and where it's going to end. You're on a trajectory. You're on a projection from God. God is on your case. God is with you. God is surely with you. Better than that, he's not only with you, he's in you. And you have something pulling you from the inside towards his will. The Spirit of God says, I will cause you to walk in my ways. And I will cause things to happen in your favor. I will cause things to work around your life. You're going to wake up feeling different. You're going to wake up feeling much more reassured because the Spirit of the Lord is speaking into your spirit tonight. Reassurance that from the inside out, he's drawing you along according to his will. You don't have to fret. You don't have to fight. And you don't have to fuss. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. Just bless her with a great sense of rest and peace that you've got it in tow for her, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Turn with me. It's not going to be a big word right now. I'm going to modify it a bit, but I'm going to give you something. All right? It's going to be a good word because I feel something in my heart for you. I want to pray for some more people. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Isaiah 48. Now, I want you to put your fast ears on because I'm going to talk fast. Hallelujah. Jesus. I'm not going to keep you up. It's not going to be the eternal gospel. But let's deliver something that's for everyone here tonight. And we'll see what happens here. Now, in Isaiah 48, I was 2 years ago, I referenced this period 2 years ago. Something major happened in my life over a period of 6 months. And huge turnabout came, and I'm ministering a lot out of it, partly because the Lord said I would, and I should, and that there would come places where I would know for sure that this was the case. I have to tell you, today, I know for sure. There's something going on in my spirit that I need to say some of this, part of this journey for you here tonight. And that actually is a very pertinent thing. The Lord said, I'll give you a place, and I'll get you to declare it. All right? Now, in Isaiah 48... This came to me in an early morning session with God. I'd arrived back in from Germany after ministering overseas, and I'm sure there was jet lag involved, but it was one of those things like 3 a.m, couldn't sleep, and I'm feeling like God wants to speak to me. Don't you hate that? I mean, you love it, but like you say, God, don't you know what hour of the day it is? And he doesn't work on your time. And so I lay there long enough, but feeling stirring in my spirit and thinking, is it jet lag? Is it really Jesus knocking on my door? And at some point I got up, I walked out to my lounge room in the house we were living in at the time, overlooked the city at a big glass window, almost the size of one of those big panes back there. And overlooking, we're on a mountain slope, overlooking Vancouver Harbour and the city. And it was a cold December morning. And it was probably minus 12 outside, but it was a crisp, clear night. And I didn't turn the lights on. I sat down in my big easy chair, and I had one little, almost like a pencil light that's just by the chair. I had that on, but I didn't turn the house lights on. And I sat in the chair, and I looked out the window and saw the sparkling lights of the city and the stars and the reflections on the harbor. And I was sitting there, and I felt like the presence of the Lord was in the room. And you know, you kind of go to the Word and you start thumbing. And I'm little pencil light coming down on my Bible, and I'm looking, nothing. And I just thought, go to my consecutive reading. I love reading through the Bible. I have a big issue about that, and that my big issue is not many people do it enough. And so I'm reading consecutively through the Bible. I love doing that. I call it doing this. I call it finding yourself in the story. The Bible is a story from cover to cover. It's there to be read from cover to cover. Whatever else we do in mining it and digging it and going from place to place, that's okay. But essentially, it's God's story. It's his redemptive story. And it can be read from cover to cover like any other book. Because like in any other book, as you read it, you find yourself in the story. Now, I've watched my wife reading to my granddaughters, Anne of Green Gables. I can't stand it. But anyway, because she affected my daughters with Anne of Green Gables. And now that we're living to Canada, we've even had to do the trip to Prince Edward Island. Man, Gilbert Blythe, I could kill him. But anyway, and Aunt Marilla lived next door to me, I'm sure. This lady was Aunt Marilla. But anyway, the point I'm saying that is because I watched the imagination come alive in my daughters and now in my grandkids, and I can see my little granddaughter Mercy swooning. She surely thinks she's Anne Shirley, you know, because what's happened is she's finding herself in the story, and the Bible's like that. And I was sitting reading and just going to my consecutive reading, rather, in that moment of being stirred and the presence of God in the room. And there's some big shifts happening in my life. And it was all very, very powerful and positive. And as I'm just going to my consecutive reading, was Isaiah 48. And you know, Isaiah's, you know, if you're a prophet, it's the best book of the Bible. But when you're reading the story, you're finding there's some pretty serious judgments and things like that, and you don't want to find yourself too much in the judgment parts of the story. But, you know, to be true to God and everything, sometimes we have to read the Word of God against ourselves. So I was in a fairly judgmental part of the prophecies of Isaiah and just reading my consecutive story, when bam, through the middle of it, pops out Isaiah 48 and verse 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I'm the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go. And this word screamed at me. Now, the word was not, I'll teach you to profit $. This isn't the prosperity message. It was the Lord saying, the way I'm leading you, you're going to profit in this deal. This is the way that you're going to. And here's what I kind of heard from the Lord. There's a prophetic journey that you're on, Graham. And in that journey, I'm going to do you good. And my for some reason, I felt like this verse was speaking to me. I found myself in the story that night. And so I'm saying, okay, God, okay, so you're the Lord who teaches me to profit and leads me in the way that I should go. There's a prophetic journey I'm in. And of course, this is what God was saying to Israel. He's saying, I'm speaking to you with all that's gone on, but I'm going to lead you to bless you. Even though there are times of dealing, times of judgment, whatever, God is essentially reassuring Israel about their prophetic journey. He's going to do them good. God wants to do you good. God wants to do you good. I mean, you're going to burst if something doesn't hit you tonight, because the Holy Ghost is making a whole lot of fuss around you. I don't know why, but it's like I see the sky opening up above you, and it's like there's a transaction going on between heaven and earth right over your life. It's like, wow, come on, God, profit me. Profit me with a good profit. Hallelujah. I'm trying to be a good one right now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Father, I do pray that heaven will open above her life, that there will be a shifting in the heavens above her life, that heaven and earth will meet in her circumstance, and she will know that the Lord is her powerful redeemer, the one who pays the bill and gets the job done and brings to her her rewards. Thank you, Holy Ghost. For whatever reason, I needed to say that to you. So in that moment, I'm hearing that God wants to prosper us in the way. And then as I'm sort of going back over the whole text, two other verses pop out. Okay, here they are. Verse 3. I've declared the former things from the beginning. They went forth from my mouth. I caused them to hear it. Suddenly I did them. And they came to pass. Everybody say the word suddenly. All American preachers say, everybody do this. I just lost my page here. It's coming. Everybody say the word suddenly, all right? That's not written there. That's what I'm going to tell you about. Suddenlies. God, this is a terrible thing. Doesn't happen. Lord Jesus, thank you. There we go. Hallelujah. Just when you're in a hurry, your technology goes for it. You know what it's like. You got a paper Bible. Thank you, God. I got two up there. Now, let me tell you something. Suddenly. God says to Israel, the things that are spoken formerly to you have suddenly come to pass. God says, in his reassurance of Israel, in their prophetic journey to do them good, he says, now have a look. I've spoken things in former times, and suddenly they came to pass. It's kind of almost contradictory. I've told you it's going to happen, and suddenly they happen. I've warned you in my prophetic words, but suddenly it happened. Now, that's because sometimes when the word comes to us, there's a stretch of time. And kind of like when we least expect it, we're elected, and bang, it happens. You know what I'm saying? A divine suddenly. How many of you had a divine suddenly and looked around and said, oh yeah, and God said to me years ago. I'm here to tell you, for some of you, you need to dust off your old prophecies. Some of you have got words from years ago that haven't yet come to pass, but I'm here to tell you out of what shifted in my heart towards tonight was that there are divine suddenlies about to happen for some of you. And my job is to shift you in your expectation back to some of the things that God has said to you. A divine suddenly. You see, the longer it's taken to come to pass, the more ripe it is in coming to pass. Now, let me give you a very humorous illustration. A lady, a businesswoman in my church, tells me about the story. She was on a plane going to the Bahamas. Oh, Holy Ghost. Something's going on in you. There's a stirring. Nicole, is it? Yeah. Now, I know you lead the youth. I've just got to warn you in a really good way. But your influence is going far bigger than just what you see. That, you know, you can govern this, but your influence is out there. And that thing is pushing out. Right now, there's an expansion going on in the influence of your world. And what it's going to do, eventually, it's going to increase what you govern. Because what's happening out here is going to bring some returns into your life. Grow in grace is what I feel to say clearly. Grow in grace. You're going to have this big heart that will cope with the expansion. And it's a big grace thing. All right, it's not just the skills, it's the grace. It's the heart that receives and kind of embraces. And grow in grace, and you're going to govern much more than what you're influencing right now, or much more than what you're governing right now. Holy Ghost. Now, what was I saying? I was saying something. Oh, yeah. So this woman's telling me about this. This guy was sitting next to her on an airplane while she was going to the Bahamas for a holiday somewhere, to the Caribbean somewhere. And he was very excited about his destination. And she was saying, "Wow, that's cool. Is this your first trip to the?" And he said, "No. I've been before." He says, "What happened was," he says, "I had a previous trip, and I was so excited. As soon as I landed, went to my resort, and when I got to the resort, it's just kind of very American to do this, I suppose. I don't know whether he had Speedos, but he slipped into his cozzies and shot down through the resort, ran through the coconut grove on the way to the lagoon. And as he was running through the coconut grove, a big fat coconut hit him. Now, this is a true story. This is not just some little anecdotal thing. The guy gets plastered by a coconut. He's left unconscious on the pathway to the lagoon. I mean, he's only just arrived, slipped into his Speedos, and there he is now with a bleeding head lying on the path. That's sad. You're supposed to stop smiling when you hear that story. But anyway, he's lying there, and some gardener or somebody, some staff member, finds him, picks him up, brings him in. They have to get him off to hospital. The ambulance comes. He ends up in hospital. When he comes to, and he's kind of got things on the mend, he wasn't seriously concussed, they inform him that he could go home. It was the day he had to leave to go back home. You know, so that was his first trip to the Bahamas. Now, I want you to just look at that story for just a minute, because I said divine suddenlies are coming, and the longer a suddenly is taken to ripen, the closer it is. Now, you think of it from the coconut's point of view. I mean, goodness me. See, that little coconut's taken years to grow. It's born for a day. It's born for a time of opportunity. It's going to come its way. And then, you know, as it got bigger and fatter and more heavier, you know, it's getting more excited that this is its day. It's got a word from the Lord. You're born for a season. You know? And it's kind of, yeah. He sees a bunch of Kiwis walking past. He says, "Oh man, I can kill a Kiwi anytime. Come on, Lord. Is this the moment?" And the Kiwis walk under the thing, and God says, No, you just hang on there, buddy." The little fella holds on. Oh man, you know? And some time later, maybe years later or a month later or something, a bunch of Aussie tourists come by. This is not one of those jokes, you know, an Irishman or Aussie, you know. But I'm just trying to get you in the thinking of a coconut that's getting riper and riper, you know, it's getting more and more, you know. So the deal is, the Aussie comes past wearing a pair of Speedos, you know, and this is cool. Let's knock out an Aussie or two. And God says, "No, you know, this isn't the day. Suddenly you can't happen. Not right now. You know, let the Aussie go. Off he goes. He's got coconuts at home that can hit him." And so the thing waits and waits, but all the time it's waiting, it's ripening. More ripe. All right? This American guy comes. That fair game. Always. Any Americans here tonight? And so, got a Canadian. I didn't say Canadian. But you know, the American guy comes in, and the little coconut's going, "Please, God, come on. Give me, this has got to." And God said, this is the one. So here's this guy charging down. And you know, here's what's happening. In that moment, I heard the word convergence this morning. There was convergence. There was, the guy was in the right position, and the coconut was ripe. You get the deal? And there's like a blind second bang, and the thing snaps at the top, and things just connect at the right moment, and bam, that little coconut's fulfilled its duty in life. You think, what a terrible, terrible story. Divine suddenlies. I want to tell you tonight, some of you, you have to prepare for divine suddenlies. Now, I'm going back now to the guy from America going on his second trip. Now, I wonder how he went down through that grove second time around. You get what I'm saying now? Because there were other coconuts who were suddenlies wanting to happen, who were fully ripe and overripe and waiting. And so here's the deal. How do you prepare for a suddenly? Well, he's American. That's a cinch. Bring your football gear. That's a helmet, body armor, face cage, you know? Now, he looks like a turtle. He's got his Speedos on and body armor and helmet. And he's going down through that grove like, "Come on, hit me." You know, he's not scared of falling coconuts. He's tempting them. Come on, guys. Yeah. See? It's what you call protect mode. Anything can hit. It won't kill him. Now, he's American. He has another option. Instead of the body armor, helmet, and face cage, and protect mode, he could just bring one piece of sports equipment, and that's his baseball glove. That's what you call receive mode. And in that situation, he can be in his Speedos. Forgive the imagination here. Just don't go there too far. But he didn't have to be wearing all that armor, head stuff, and whatever. But what he's going to do, he's going to walk out of the thing, and it's not like he's shielding himself from something happening. It's like, I'm wanting it. I'm waiting for it. In the deal, he walks through the grove, and he's got his hand out, and he's looking up. And as he's going through, he sees that coconut just beginning to shake on the, and he does one of those big dives out and boom, catches the thing. Now he's got a coconut to eat or sell or do whatever he likes, take home to his wife, show them what it looks like. Now you see, it's a silly illustration, but I'm telling you tonight, prepare for suddenness. Here's the deal. God prepares long for a suddenly. But the longer it takes to hit, the more ripe it is. And some of you have got words from the Lord that have left you wondering whether God's going to speak again. A little bit of prophetic phobia gets in there and you shield yourself. You don't like it when that word's repeated. You won't read it again. Or you just kind of, you don't even realize what's happened. You've walked around a little bit shielded and guarded about this stuff. Because you've got promises and prophecies from God that haven't come to pass. And you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? You know that. And so what's going on is you're wearing your helmet. You're wearing your body armor. You're not living in expectation. You're living in protection of you. You don't want to be let down again. But God's coming into your world to say, I want to tell you tonight to prepare for divine suddenlies. In those, some of those very areas of disappointment where the word hasn't come to pass. There's a lady down here in blue. I think you were at the door here this morning. Is that right? I've just got to really tell you what. There it is. It's down inside there. Jeez. But I got to tell you. The word of the Lord to you. Like the promises of God are pending. It's almost like a membrane that's stretching that God is going to burst into your situation with some real fulfillment. I want you to be encouraged from the Lord in full expectation tonight. There's something that was stirring in my spirit. And there's a gentleman two across from you with a beard, and there's something ticking on the inside of you. Your suddenlies are so ripe. The word of the Lord is going to be so sure and true to you, sir, and you're going to be able to say in all faithfulness that God is not a liar, that God is true. God is not going to let you have one part of his word that falls to the ground and is lost. You're going to know that God has backed up his word on your life. For some important reason tonight, I want to up the expectation in your life to see that what he has spoken in times past. I'm even thinking 10 years ago. I'm thinking long time passing. God has spoken and written things into your spirit in terms of expectation, and he's going to fulfill it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't know. It's on. Okay. That's good. How are we doing? Okay. God prepares long for us suddenly. And to break the protect mode in your life. Get into receive mode. I haven't really got time to do that last point. I'm not going to do it because I'm not going to go spend all night here. But God is telling me tonight that some of you here need to have broken off your life what I call prophetic phobia. Where you're, it's not that you don't believe in prophecy. You're just not believing that yours is coming to pass. And that's become like a little suited up guy running through the coconut grove.
it's almost like saying, well, if it hits, it's not going to hurt. If it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. But it matters to God that God has spoken, that there are promises written into your life that he wants to fulfill and bring to pass. You matter to God. Your journey matters to God. And he's saying to you, all of you tonight, that he wants to get involved in your world and, because of the prophetic journey, lead you through the prophetic journey to profit. You'll be blessed that God has spoken along the way and got you to where you're going. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Ghost, right now. Begin to shift any kind of sense of prophetic phobia on people, any kind of fear of what God might do or say. Thank you, God. Come, Holy Ghost. Sir, I want to tell you tonight that God has seen in your heart a bigger desire than you realize for him. That's a very strange way of saying it. But you have a deep cry in your spirit for God, and it's bigger than you realize. And God is coming to you with such a beckoning, outreaching hand to say, he's on your case for good. He's on your side for good. He's not going to rip you off, and he's not going to play games with you, and he's not going to cause you to have to be something you can't be, because he's going to put in you the very desires. He's going to create in you, as you yield to the possibility that God is on your case, and he's going to shift you to it. There's such a sense right now that's going on, that God doesn't want you to underestimate the very cry in your heart that is going to lead you into all that God has for you. Thank you, Lord. I believe God's really wanting to bless your world. He loves you with a huge passion. Can you take that? Awesome, sir. He does. It's almost like God is just saying, I want this guy to be really convinced that I'm so for him. I can shift whatever to make your world blessed. And he doesn't fully grasp the full expectation. But it's in there. It's starting to stir towards God. He's for you. He's going to bless you. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Awesome. Holy Ghost, keep coming. The lady over here with the Bible on her knee, closed eyes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The thing that comes straight up is I see kind of like a door that's been closed, and I hear a rattling on the handle. And at first you're nervous. You think, who's on the outside? Who's trying to get here? But when that thing turns, there's a sense that it's Jesus. And God's entering into the situation. Now, doorways, in most times we use that as opportunity. But this is more like Jesus is opening to get in to your world. I don't mean to get into you. You're okay. You're connected. You're there. But he's going to get into your world. And that rattling is not to be feared. That sense that something is going on is not to be feared. It's Jesus getting into your world. He's going to stand for you. He's your vindication. He's going to completely stand for you in the situation. You're going to be so blessed that he stepped into your world. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And you know what, lady? God is going to make himself so real to you, you'll be convinced. You won't doubt. You'll be more convinced than ever. You're going to see God shift some circumstances into alignment in your life. That's going to go, like it's going to just crack in your spirit as if, wow, God, I get it now. I really get it. And you'll be convinced. It's like I feel like God's just trying to tell you so clearly tonight that you don't be condemned about anything I'm saying. It's not a rebuke, okay? But that when things just don't seem to fit, God is going to pull them into a sharp, clear alignment, and you'll be convinced that it was God. And you'll be so blessed because of it. Because what's going to happen is going to substantiate something in your faith towards him. And you're going to speak like you know, like you've never known before, that God can pull things together even when it didn't seem to be working out like that. And that clarity of mind and spirit is like a deep-seated conviction that's going to help you in even getting through to others. You know, right now, can I pray for you? Would you mind if I prayed for you? You come over here. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't mind you steal every prophecy that comes past you. It's good. How are we doing, folks? You're okay? I don't keep you here too long. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Just lift your hands up to God. Don't be afraid of God. I'm not going to push you over or anything like that. Praise God. He can do anything, you know, but I'm not going to. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you're going to straighten things out and pull things into alignment in her life, and that she is going to be absolutely convinced that God has had his hand in the situation, and that God is going to clarify in her mind and spirit. She's going to speak with conviction. She's going to have a new sound in her voice. God has done this. And that, Father, it will not only empower her to speak with confidence, but it will make others believe. And I pray, God, that whatever it is that's been out of alignment will now, in the name of Jesus, submit to the hand of God, as this woman is submitting herself right now for prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ, and bless her life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every one of us wants to know that God is who he says he is. And there are moments that God pulls. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the journey with God. We love it when God turns up, so to speak. Excuse me, I'm healing things, spitting now. Yeah. But God is going to turn up, pull things together. Into alignment, you're going to have such a strong clarity that it's God. Speak with an authority in your voice and spirit. God has done this. God has done this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. They're good? I think it's awesome. Say that again.
You've got a catcher's mitt for me.
You keep that catcher's mitt on in Jesus' name. It's coming your way. Sir, I suppose we need to stop. Praise God. Hallelujah. Everybody wants a prophecy, don't they? That's how it works, isn't it? Did you wear your fluoro shirt so you'd be seen? It doesn't matter where you sit. I feel the grace of God that's on your life in terms of huge respect, and that you needn't think that all the prophecies go to the young men. And that you needn't think that at a certain point of life, you've come to where it's at in how God is using you effectively and powerfully. And I want to encourage you that the supernatural God is working in you and on you and through you. And that your hand and the gentleness of your spirit has made you a very capable minister of the Spirit. Paul says to us in 2 Corinthians, that we are ministers of the new covenant, which is in the Spirit. You shorten that up. We're ministers of the Spirit. You're a minister of the Spirit that has got a maturity and a grace that gives you the right to speak to opposing voices or confused voices, because they'll listen to you because your spirit is calm, your attitude is right, and your maturity serves you well. But don't just think those things are enough. Believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and your gentle touch, your loving prayer, and the word of the Lord that can come through you. You can prophesy. You can say God's things to them. You know, prophecy is exhortation, edification, and comfort. And it's not just a generated mind thing, you know, mind-generated edification, exhortation, and comfort. But you can step to faith and build up, stir up, and cheer up, and bam, you can speak stuff from God to people. And they'll listen to you, not because you shouted at them, not because you rebuked them, but because the spirit in you is strong, it's mature, and it's gracious, and it will bring that powerful word into people's lives that otherwise wouldn't accept it. So you be a man of God that you are and keep speaking. Hallelujah. All the prophecies don't go sideways to the young ones. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Well, God is good. Well, I'm going to stop here because I think that, you know, we've got work tomorrow. But you've been very patient with me. It's kind of a different night, wasn't it, Graham? I was going to preach. But I'm telling you, stand up with me right now. I want to pray for a spirit of expectation to come on you, and that your receive mode on. Lift up your hand like you've got a mitt in your hand. Not a helmet, a catcher's mitt. And God has prepared long for your suddenly. And when I felt stirred this day, today, earlier today, this morning, to bring this word to you out of my own experience, I'm telling you, I haven't got any time to tell you anything about the suddenlies that have dramatically reshaped my wife and my life over the last 2 years. But this season has been one of the most powerful shifts. And God says you'll go into places and you'll declare it. And a season will begin to work in people's lives. And I so believe this for you right now. And so, Father, as people are raising their hands now in receive mode, I pray, God, first of all, that prophetic phobia will lift off people. That the doubt or the fear or the worry or the kind of stealing themselves from getting another word and another prophecy and it not coming to pass will lift off their lives in Jesus' name. And that, God, the things you spoke formerly, you will suddenly do. And that, God, there will come an awakening in so many people's lives. This will be a great season of testimony and story. I'm praying for a 2-year burst upon people, where things begin to shift in their favor, in their call, in their walk with you. And that, God, some powerful divine suddenlies begin to happen. I'm praying for doors to open. People, I'm praying that God will shift things. Some investments that have been lost are going to actually find their way back to you. And you're not going to do anything about investigating where it's gone. There's somebody here, I'm telling you, but that thing's going to find its way back to you. I can see a young person coming home. They left home and it was as if when you said goodbye or when they said goodbye or that there was no goodbye, your heart sank in despair. They went into a relationship. They were living outside of the will of God and you despaired. I'm telling you, they're coming home with children and you might fear that they've got children out of wedlock, but I'm telling you, they're coming home, they're coming to God and their family, their partner and their kids are all coming to God and God's going to redeem it. Wow. Where did that come from? You're going to get a knock on the door or a phone call or something and you're going to have to check your spirit because a divine suddenly has happened and they're on their way in and they're coming home. There's some powerful things going to happen to some people here. I'm getting charged now. I want to stop the meeting, but I'm starting to explode on the inside. There is God working on you. And I declare in the name of Jesus that a season of divine suddenlies will begin to happen in lives that will prove the word of the Lord true, that will substantiate that every promise of God is backed up by God. And I pray, God, that you in your sovereignty and power will begin to work over people's lives and bring great rewards for the years that they've hung in and held in. And that today they sit in church under the sound of a word that's like a liberating word to believe again. And that, God, from this night on, they go in receive mode. They go looking up. They go expectant. They go letting you do it, Lord, not shielding themselves from it. And I pray that there'll be so much happening, that, God, you'll get so much glory in this place as the testimonies come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for tiding me over a little longer.